grace is resting.
Are you depending on luck to get to heaven? Some people are depending on luck or good works. The Bible says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us needs a Savior. Thankfully, God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that your sins and mine could be forgiven. Repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. He is the one and only way to salvation.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Pastor Brian Longworth.
Last week, we began looking at the concept of Jesus unlocking and revealing mysteries kept secret from the foundation of the world. Before the world began, before God created the heavens and the earth, before He created the moon and the stars, before He created the animals, before He created human beings, God actually had a secret. He created a secret. It wasn't the type of secret where, hey, He did something bad and He's hoping no one will find out. No, it's the type of secret where He had really a great plan for humanity. His plan was to send His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. And we started looking last week. First, we looked at Psalm 78. Beginning in verse 1 in Psalm 78, we see, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, that the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart right and whose spirit was not faithful to God." And this passage was a contemplation of Asaph, and it was written for the Israelites at that time, but it also prophesied of what Jesus would do, that He would speak in parables, that He would utter dark sayings of old. And we started looking last week at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 is a really amazing chapter. Jesus really presents multiple parables here. And one of the things I mentioned last week, a lot of the Christian authors and even ministers will use stories to as illustrations in their sermons. And it's a powerful way because people, frankly, don't remember the Bible verses a lot of times. Hopefully they do. Hopefully you're paying attention. But a lot of times people don't remember the concepts unless you make it interesting to them. And the stories can be interesting and they can help drive a point home. And so some Christian authors and Christian speakers will say that Jesus spoke in parables so that He could help His audience understand what He was saying better. But the Bible actually says differently in Matthew chapter 13. The disciples in verse 10 asked them, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And He answered them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. He will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear, and you shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Jesus really was speaking in parables, not so his followers could understand him. He was actually speaking in parables, really, so that they wouldn't understand him, because their hearts were hardened and they didn't stick around like the disciples did. They heard his words. Sometimes they came for food because they heard. In fact, the first time he broke bread and they all got free food. Well, you know, people love free things. And the next time they were gathered around, it didn't have any food. Jesus broke some more bread, and he even told them, some of you are here for the free food. At one point, he told them that. So you have to realize that some people wanted to hear him, but they didn't want to understand. Their hearts were hard. They were blinded. They actually didn't see. And really, this is providential, because it was necessary. The whole purpose. I mean, why did Jesus come to the earth? He didn't come to the earth to be a babe in a manger. We celebrate his birth at Christmas time. And a lot of times we have manger scenes, and that's all good, and we should do that. We have a manger scene we put in front of our house. We should do that. We should remind people that Christmas is about Jesus. He is the reason. Jesus is the reason for the season. But he didn't come just to be a babe in a manger, and he didn't come just to speak profound words and to encourage people and to lift them up. He didn't come to be a motivational speaker. In fact, one of the things you'll see about Jesus, sometimes when people were following him, he would actually say things that would offend them, and they would actually leave and turn away. And many people, there were some of his sayings that people said, well, this is a hard saying. I don't know if I can understand this, if I can accept this. And some of the people actually departed. You can read about that. We do encourage you, read the Bible and follow it. Compare what you believe to what the Bible says. Do what the Bible says. Not only be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. Memorize it. That's one of the things the Bible tells you to do. It tells you to meditate upon the word of God. It tells you to abide in the word of God. That means to live in it. It should really encompass everything of your life. And when you do that, that word can actually cleanse your heart. It can actually soften your heart. It can instruct you. It can teach you. You can ask God that he would teach you and instruct you from his word. The word of God is effective. It doesn't return void. It returns and carries forth what God has called for it to carry forth. So when you as a Christian speak the word of God, and you're actually encouraging someone to come to Christ, or you're even reproving someone that is not living for God, not living the way God lives, you're being bold enough to actually share with them the truth of God, that the way that they are living is going to lead them to hell. Well, when you do that out of love, and you're actually presenting the word of God, the word of God does bring forth fruit. And that brings forth fruit sometimes to repentance, and sometimes it brings forth fruit to death. Brings forth fruit where people actually realize that they have sinned and they repent. And other times they just go on their merry way. But that word that you spoke will actually be a testimony against them when they stand before God, because they will not be able to say, I didn't know, because you were faithful to share with them the truth. And so Jesus actually explained to them, to the disciples, the parables and told them what the parables meant. And we went over last week, we went over the parable of the sower. And then in verse 24, we see another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servant said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.' Another parable he put forth to them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches.' Another parable he spoke to them, 'The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. All of these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world.'" And this is an actual quote from Psalm 78 that we read earlier. "I will open my mouth in parables and utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world." And one of the things that you see, again, the followers of Jesus didn't understand these parables. But Jesus explained the parables to his disciples. But one of the things you'll see, and we may go over this, we've gone over it before, but we may go over this next week and in the upcoming weeks as we focus on the death, burial, and resurrection, also the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and then the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. One of the things that you'll see is that the disciples themselves, their hearts were hardened to some extent. Their eyes were blind to some extent. Their ears were deaf to some extent, because some of the things that Jesus taught them, some of the things that Jesus explained to them, they didn't understand or didn't want to accept. As he talked to them about his death, as he talked to them about his burial, as he talked to them about his resurrection, they didn't understand until after he had been crucified, and after he had been raised from the dead, and after he met with them and actually explained to them and showed them from Scripture that it was necessary for him to actually suffer. It was necessary for him to die on the cross. It was necessary for him to actually have that experience where he would die on the cross, where he would be our scapegoat, where he would be our Passover lamb, where his blood would be shed and his blood would be poured out on the Holy of Holies in heaven, so that your sins, so that you can repent of your sins, which means to not only ask God to forgive you, but also to turn from your wicked ways and serve God, and the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away your sins. You see, it was necessary for the Jews to cry out for Jesus to be crucified. It was necessary for Judas to betray Jesus. It was necessary for those who were there to be swayed by the chief priest. Even people that were listening to Jesus were going along with him being crucified and were crying out for him being crucified. It was necessary for them not to understand so that they would actually cry out for him to be crucified. And hopefully, many of those were actually people that actually came back to Christ and accepted him as their Savior, repented of their sins in that early church on the day of Pentecost or in the days following that they repented of their sins and turned back to God. But here we see he's quoting and he's saying that he's revealing things kept secret from the foundation of the world. And then it says, then Jesus sent the multitudes away and went into the house. So Jesus has shared these parables, but then he sends the multitudes away and he sits down with his disciples and he's about to explain to them. And his disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the tares in the field. He answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And what he's talking about here is he's talking about a judgment at the end of this earth where the angels would go and they would first of all gather anyone who offends and those who practice lawlessness. Now there are some who actually believe and teach and actually will proclaim that they can be a Christian and go and do whatever they want to and their sins are still forgiven because they're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. But wouldn't that make that person lawless? Now, certainly we all sin. We fall short of God's glory. We do not meet his righteous standard, which is perfection. But we are called to be holy as he is holy. We are called to be more like him every day. We are called to crucify our flesh, our sinful nature, and live to God. We are called to crucify the works of the flesh and to allow God's word to come through. In fact, to meditate on his word, to abide in his word so that we can be his disciples indeed. That's from John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. So that we would know the truth. How? Because the word is truth and we're abiding in his word. And that truth can set us free. Free from what? Free from sin. So as we abide in God's word, the Bible talks about the word being a cleansing, having a cleansing effect on us, to actually cleanse our hearts, to cleanse our minds, to wash away all of our sins. And so those who are lawless, those who are continuing in their sin, are obviously not people that have actually repented of their sin. And in fact, there are some that may be going to church. There are some that may be listening to sermons and believe that they are Christians, but are living a lawless life. And Jesus didn't come to abolish the law. He came to give us the power to keep the law. Not that we can be ever be perfect, but that is our goal. And as the Apostle Paul said, we're to move from glory to glory to glory. I picture that as a stair step going from the earth all the way up into heaven. And that's where we need to get to. We need to get to God's perfection. Let's say the perfection is somewhere up in the sky there. And we're moving from glory to glory to glory, every, you know, one step closer to where we need to be. You may not be where you need to be yet, but hopefully you're better off, you're closer to God's standard than you were last week, last month, last year. Hopefully you're moving, you're progressing, you're becoming more like God. And we really need to become more like God. So those who are offend and those who practice lawlessness are then cast into this fiery furnace where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous, this is verse 43 of Matthew 13, then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. And so really this, the kingdom of heaven, like a treasure. You should be willing to give up everything you have for God. Now, that doesn't mean you necessarily have to go and sell everything that you have, but definitely God and his kingdom, you need to seek first the kingdom of God and allow all the things, all the blessings of God to be added unto you. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he has found the one of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet, which was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew it to shore. And they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. If you're a fisherman, you know that there's some fish that tastes good, and there's some fish that don't taste good. And sometimes there's some fish that don't taste good that people catch because some of them are invasive and they catch just for the fun of it and then put them back. But there's definitely fish that you want to eat and fish that you don't want to eat. And so Jesus is using that as an example here. And he's saying that this is what is happening. So it will be at the end of the age, the angel will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. So here we again see this furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You saw that earlier in this chapter. Now you see again, wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out his treasure, things new and old." Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, that he departed from there. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and their mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Where did this man get all these things?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and in his own house." Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So here you see the multitudes, the people, and Jesus presenting them truth, and they didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to obey it. They didn't want to follow his truth. And why did they not want to follow his truth? Well, because they knew who he was. They knew who his dad was. They knew who his mom was. They knew who his brothers were and who his sisters were. And they were there with him. And they said, you know, you're just a normal guy just like us. Why should we listen to you? What do you have that could possibly be of use to us? And so they were offended at Jesus. And I can tell you, certainly Jesus' earthly father and his mother, they were just ordinary people, blessed by God and chosen by God to bear the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God Almighty. But Jesus got his wisdom from God, and we need to hear his word. We need to follow his commandments and keep his commandments. We need to read the word of God, meditate on the word of God, and allow God's word to do a work in our life. Repent of your sins and join the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess your sins before him and ask him to help you to be holy, even as he is holy. Again, that doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, but you should be moving closer and closer to perfection as you abide in his word, so that you can be his disciple indeed, so that you will know the truth, and that truth will set you free from sin. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, hasten the day when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, when the earth rejoices for the Lord and the multitudes of the isles are glad, when the Lord has established justice in the earth and the coastlands wait for his law, when the fullness of the Gentiles comes and you call your people Israel back into your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Are you depending on luck to get to heaven? Some people are depending on luck or good works. The Bible says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us needs a Savior. Thankfully, God sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that your sins and mine could be forgiven. Repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. He is the one and only way to salvation.
The civil government does not define your ethic as a Christian. That's critical that we understand that. And now maybe people will become more and more awakened to that.
Hi, this is R.C. Sproul, and I hope that you are listening to Renewing Your Mind on this station every day.
Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. and p.m. on WCNO.
Greetings. We invite you to join the Word of Truth International Ministry with Pastor Richard and Lucy Pope every Saturday at 8 a.m. as we break the bread of life and teach the Word of God right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Grace and peace, everyone. This is Pastor Garfield Crumbie. I'm inviting everyone to join me every Saturday morning at 8:30 for the Empowerment Zone right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.